Blog Talk Radio.
Cast down to the sea, his chosen captain, drowned in the Red Sea.
要是软了，哎呀，啊了哎呀那哇，哎呀，啊什么要是完了哎呀阿拉海那哇哎呀什么要是完了哎呀阿拉海那哇哎呀
Right, shalom, 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 shalom. That's how you say shalom when you haven't been on the phone in ages. You don't even know what to do with yourself. All praises to the Most High God. Thank you, Father, for letting us get in tonight. Welcome to Restoring Your Daughters of Zion, GLCC's Monday night show, designed with you in mind, ladies. All right, so as we all know, those first two musical interludes that we heard were the Song of Moses, which is Exodus 15 in its entirety, and our dedication, the Shema, Deuteronomy 6 and 4, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. Hosting tonight, Sister Shirley and Sister Carol. Are you out there, Carol? I heard you laughing.
I am. Shalom, everyone.
Shalom, Carol. It's just good to hear from you. Sister Karina, are you out there?
Shalom, I'm out here.
All right. And Sister Aura, I saw you. I didn't see Sister
Shalom, everyone.
Shalom, my God. Yes, indeed. And so, I don't know what our audience will look like tonight because we haven't been on since the flood. And so, it's a little hard to get people back together, but you know, we're here and we thank the Most High for this opportunity, and hopefully going forward we can still do this, although Passover is kicking my tail. Let's just continue to push, to press on, to meet the Lord each day when we got to get these things done. So all right, as usual, we are coming to you live via Blog Talk Radio International. Come on, be a part of this program, a part of this round table, to ask a question, to make a comment. Dial in for yourself at 515-605-9327. That's 605-9327. Or you can simply listen in by going to the Blog Talk webpage and clicking on www.blogtalkradio.com/GOC Church. You can also reach out to us in private email, restoringyourdaughtersofzion@gmail.com. But okay, here we are, and we thank you for tuning in and being a part of this discussion. Tonight is going to be a very interesting night because we definitely want your participation in what we're doing. And our discussion tonight is Leave the World Behind. I believe that's it. Am I right, Carol? I say it wrong most of the time.
No, you got it right.
Okay. It's Leave the World Behind. And there's two parts to that. But we're going to talk about that tonight. We're gonna dive in. We're gonna unpack this situation tonight. And we want your participation because we want you to chime in and talk to us and tell us what that means to you, what it meant to you. But I'm going to let Carol stir this pot tonight. So, Carol, first of all, could you start off by bringing us before the Most High God before you start any other new trash that you're going to be doing tonight? Bring us before the Most High, and let's just thank Him for His goodness, thank Him for His mercy, and His forgiveness for everything that He does for us, Carol, because if it wasn't for the goodness of the Lord, where would we be?
Amen.
I know, where would I be? Where would I be if He didn't forgive me for being a fool? Go ahead, Carol, take us before the Most High God.
All right. First, I want to start out by reading Psalms 91.
Amen.
He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty.
Amen.
I will say of the Lord, I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in Him I will trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. Thousands shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling, for He shall give His angels charge over thee, to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder, the young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. Because He hath set His love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Praise the Most High for this, the reading of His word. Father, tonight we thank You. We thank You for just the fact that we are alive and that we've able to see this day, Father. We thank You for all the blessings that You have bestowed upon us in this so-called Gregorian New Year, Father, 2024. Thank You, Father, for just calling us Israel. You said, if my people who are called by my name, that we are being called by Your name, Father. We thank You for that. We thank You for Your deliverance. We thank You for sending Your Son, Father. We thank You for all the things that You made a way for this sinful people, a people that stiff-necked and turned back towards unrighteousness, Father, that You, before the foundation of the world, saw fit to be slain for us, Father. Unworthy we are, Father, but we call upon You tonight, asking You to bless this program, Father, asking You that anyone who's listening, that we can all be edified once with another, Father, that Your name will be lifted, at the most that Your name will be lifted tonight, Father. We thank You once again. We ask that anybody out there that needs a healing touch them, Father. You will release the pain and allow them to become healed, Father. If there's anyone desiring to know You, Father, open up their eyes. We're asking You, because only You can do that. You said, Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He's the door. We're asking You to touch anyone that's listening. If he knocks on that door, that they will open it. Father, we thank you and we praise you. In the name of Ahayabash and Yeshaya, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Wonderful prayer. What a wonderful scripture that you read, that Psalms 91. It's there's so much power in that scripture. You know, I got kind of lost in the prayer. There was a part of the scripture that I wanted to bring out, but I can't remember it for a second. Because, you know, you kind of get moved into different places. My brain goes so many places so fast. It's like really scary. But yeah, so, okay. One of the things that we definitely want to talk about tonight is leaving the world behind. But there was a movie that came out that talked about leaving the world behind that I know most of Israel has watched it. Most of many people that are, shall I say, awoke watched it, even though they're using that as a negative terminology now. But to be awake is a very important statement, you know, especially in times like these. The scripture says if the good man knew in what watch, you know, that the thief would come, you know, you're awoke, you're watching, you are watchmen. So the thing is that it's a good thing to be up. So we're going to talk about the movie first, Leaving the World Behind. And then we want to talk about literally what the scripture's talking about, leaving the world behind. So go ahead, Carol, you get started with that.
Well, you know, it's hard for me to even think about how to approach this. There's so much stuff that was in this movie. I've listened to a lot of people break it down and kind of created like a compilation of so
many. Hang on a minute, Carol. Karina, did you see that movie?
Yes, I saw it several times, actually.
Very good, very good, very good. See, this is what I'm saying. You know? And we go in there tonight, okay? So everybody on this phone has seen that movie more than once. It's just been something to dig into, but we want to talk about it tonight. So go ahead.
I've seen it more than once too, Karina. You're not alone. And I don't know why that movie makes me want to watch it again and again.
No.
I don't know what it is.
It reminded me of Bird Box. When Bird Box came out, not only was I watching it over, I was taking notes, stopping it, slowing it down, and then we would have discussions and debates over it. But I think this one's really even more intense. So go ahead, Carol.
I think I watched Bird Box more than once. But I think because the church was so interested in it, and everywhere I turned, people were saying, did you watch it? What did you think? I hated the ending. And I'm like, so what I would like to do is if there's anybody that wants to chime in that's online to tell us their take on it first before we get started, I would love to do that, Charles. Is there anybody out there?
Anybody that wants to chime in right now, raise your hand by pressing 1. Just to give us a little something about what you thought about Leave the World Behind. Anything, whether you liked the ending, whether you saw it, whether you didn't see it, just raise your hand. I'm going to pull you in, meaning press 1. It'll get you into the host queue. And just raise your hand and tell us, did you see the movie or did you not see the movie? Did you like it, what you didn't like about it, what you hated it about it? Anything, any commentary you have. And don't be afraid because it's us, just us girls talking, right? Okay.
Any symbols
that you saw, any symbolism, anything that made you think about what's going on in this world today or the world yesterday. Anybody, come on, ladies. We talk more than this in the restroom. so far, I don't have anybody that's bold enough to press one, but let's get started, okay?
Well, you know what? All right, so Karina, you saw it several times. Tell me, what did you think? Any symbols that you saw?
Oh, yeah, I saw plenty of symbolism all throughout it. Yeah, it was good. It was definitely good. But I think it was basically a message to those who are in the know. That was my original idea. For people who aren't in the know of what's happening right now in our world, who are kind of still in the belief of the American dream and all of that, I think they looked at this as just a regular movie, just a regular, you know, it really wasn't that. But for us, that I think they were specifically talking to people who are, you know, truthers or people you would label as that. The first thing that particularly came out was when the family was on the beach, and it was almost as if. Well, wait, let me take it back to before that. Julia Roberts. Let's talk about Julia, okay? That's my girl. I mean, you know, Pretty Woman. I'm a fan of Julia Roberts from everything I know from her in the acting world. You know what I mean?
We went to school together. Go ahead. Yeah.
She stood in the window. If you remember that opening scene, she stood in the window, and she was just upset at life and people. She hated people, right?
Yes, yes.
She wanted to leave
the world behind.
Yes, she hated people. She couldn't deal with it. I mean, she wanted to get out there, part of her, but for the most part, the reason why she doesn't get out there and enjoy life or whatever is because she hates people. That first opening spoke volumes to me because we live in a world today that lacks love, that lacks compassion, that lacks, you know, empathy for other people. So it basically was showing you, and even post-COVID, it's even gotten worse. You could be bleeding on the side of the road and nobody would care. You know, in that, it really showed you a dynamic that we live in. The Bible verse that backs that up is, you know, in the love of many will wax cold. And that was an example. So that's why I said this movie on so many levels was speaking to people that either, you know, because the devil know the Bible too. You know, the devil know the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
So it was speaking to us who know, and it was speaking to, you know, like I said, other troopers. But anyway, then it skips on. Her husband is oblivious. Let's just talk about him. He doesn't know his foot from his head. Like, this man is, you know, so it tells you that it's been a dumbing down of a certain people, like I said, who want to remain blind, who want to stay in the matrix. You know, it's been a dumbing down of them, whether they're still, you know, using fluoride. I don't know.
I want to stop you right there. And I want to look at 1 John 2 and 15. And it says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. So with Julia Roberts, she wasn't in love with the world. She was in love with something else. You know what I'm saying? It's like, I think they're taking this completely upside down now and changing it into something else. You understand what I'm trying to, where I'm going with that?
Yeah.
Because they, even though they don't love the world, there is no kind of love, you know? They don't have the love of the Father, but they love not the world. And then you mentioned the American dream also. And I'm going to tell you something about that American dream. It's a nightmare. Because making you think that all that stuff, you know, is important. And when you get away from that nightmare and you wasted so much time and lost so many things. But let's go on. I just wanted to throw that scripture in there as a thought. Okay? So
I want to add something to that when you said that thing about the American dream. Remember, what was the little girl trying to do?
Mm-hmm.
She just wanted to watch.
Satisfy herself.
Everybody in there, everybody was in there just out for themselves, that's for sure. But the little girl wanted to watch that picture, Friends, the ending. And the girl, the daughter, Ruth, said, it's about a time that really never existed. Because for people to think that, like, kind of like that nonsense with the make America great thing. Think about it. It never was great. America never was great like that. For certain people, it was never great. We've never been in such a comfortable position that we could go, oh, that's the time we want to go back to. Because if we go back to the times that they want to go back to, we're slaves again.
Right.
So I don't know about that great stuff. So that's all I wanted to throw in there, that she wanted peace, happiness or something, and that she was seeking it in Friends instead of the Word. Her family wasn't teaching her anything. As a matter of fact, the part that was so funny, they didn't even know what she was watching.
And I was remembering that they didn't even pay attention to her. The family didn't pay attention to her. They didn't even, they disregarded her.
But hold it. Now, the family, what did that little girl represent? Because the families today, don't you see the young people, they not paying any attention to their children? When in the world that we're growing up in now, you see them, when I used to see them on the train, they would be sitting there texting, writing other people. The kids would be in, shut up. You know, you turn back and they're back on their texting or they're on their phone talking. So it's like a compilation of the same thing, that this is where we're at in this world. We're not paying attention to our kids anymore. They're not important. Keep going, guys.
Go ahead.
I was just giving more, you know.
I was just going to say that they weren't paying her any attention. As a matter of fact, she had been watching West Wing, which is way over her head. My mother goes, you watched West Wing? And she's like, yeah, when it was a certain episode and stuff. I'm like, this family is like you said, that typical thing where as long as you're not bothering me, I'm good with whatever you're doing.
Exactly.
Been like that for a while now.
It represented so many things where there was really no camaraderie in the family. You know, the love of many has waxed cold.
Right.
And that, you know, when you really try to get the family as a family, they weren't a family. They were separated. There's how many families now still sit down to dinner and have that conversation? Some of us are so busy trying to, like you said, Karina, get that American dream. We don't have time to do any of those things. But there's so much more to what that movie was showing in that, the discomfort.
But it also
and
showed how everybody.
Say it. Go ahead, Aura. Say what you're saying.
Okay. I was going to say it also showed how when they did not have all those gadgets, everybody was totally lost. Nobody had anything to do. It was unbelievable.
Oh, my God.
Nobody knew what to do with themselves, and everybody was totally angry. Everybody in that movie basically was angry. It was almost like it was in Tick Boom. You wait for somebody to say something, and everybody was like, okay, there it is. You know, I think the only one that was calm was the father, and he was trying to, like, be the peacekeeper, so to speak, because he was trying to...
I was trying to say, what did he represent? You know, because
he definitely represented the voice of reason.
Right.
Yes,
he was trying to be that peacekeeper. Right. Yeah. And everybody else was like, no. Nobody was interested in anybody else's opinion.
There was not one word about God anywhere.
No.
I think it mentioned one time. I think, Carol, you brought that out, that that brother, what is his name, in the very ending.
Kevin Bacon.
Kevin Bacon.
When he was telling them, you know, when they were up on the steps, and he was saying, you do what you have to do. Me, I got my guns, and I'm prepared, and I'm watching out for my family. For you, it might be praying, meditating. I don't know. But what works for you works for you. I'm ready, you know, and that's the way it is. The world is no longer the way it was. And that was the only time I heard anything in reference to God, at least unless somebody else caught a word. I caught nothing.
Yeah, no, I caught nothing else, too. And it was the emptiest, low feeling that anybody could ever feel, that everybody was just, like you said, angry. The whole place was angry and annoyed, and nothing was going on. That there was no peace in anybody's heart. Peace was the furthest thing from anyone, and everyone was scared about what could be happening.
Yeah, everybody
so
was scared.
Mm-hmm.
So what other symbols did you see, Karina?
So now we're going to back up to when they were all on the beach. And when they were on the beach, and everyone is just, you know, still in their own world. And the little girl is telling them, there's a boat coming toward us. And I literally was yelling at the television, me and my family, we're just yelling like, wait a minute, y'all don't realize how close this boat. And the dad's like, oh yeah, it looks like an interesting boat. Like, he's just, a matter of fact,
yeah,
it wasn't until the last minute they're noticing, but it was some symbolism on the boat. If you remember, the name of the boat was the White Lion.
Absolutely.
Now, that boat has a historical significance to us, you know, specifically, who were brought over here on cargo slave ships. It actually was a English boat. It came in through Virginia and had African captives, but, you know, indentured servants, they want to say, but slaves, nonetheless.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So that was a symbolism to us, too. But if you didn't know, you didn't know.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So
right.
they were saying a lot in that. Like, I believe this movie was deep in the self. Like, they know exactly who we are. I think that's the line.
Mm-hmm.
We know who you are. You know, and we know that you know that we know who you are. Because, again, that wouldn't have been something if you were just a regular person going to look at the movie. You would have cared less that it said White Lion.
Exactly. Exactly.
And we know, you know, the Jewish were the ones that owned that boat.
Very true.
But you
very,
see, to me,
true.
It seems like the implication there is, get ready, you're going to be slaves again. You know, if you're not slaves right now. And if we're not paying attention, we're already slaves. Slaves to those, to the internet, slaves to our iPhones, slaves to, and we're all under those that provide all this stuff for us. If the internet cuts off, what the heck are we going to do? You understand?
Yeah, remember the father said that. The father said, I am a useless man without my cell phone and GPS. He said, I'm
a
useless man.
So when
he went to that guy's house and he was going to give him all this money, he said, I don't need that. You know, what is that going to do for me? Remember when they came to get medicine and stuff? He didn't even want to share any of his stuff.
No,
you know,
he didn't.
He was like,
whatever. What I want to think is funny is, even though, yes, indeed, it was the slave ship's name, the first word, white. Look out.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And, and for whatever reason, and my apologies to anyone that, you know, feels like that is, something that is annoying to them, because it's not. Facts are facts. History is history. And where we go, we're just talking about it right now. But the thing about it is that is what happened. And the word lion, that has some symbolism in it itself, of course.
Right.
But
like Judah.
Let's keep going.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I was
thinking
about. You know,
and
because it
Karina,
was Judah mostly that was on that ship.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, and what I was going to say is that ship, mm-hmm. when she was talking about the white lion, and that it landed in 1619, remember? And I'm sure you were probably getting ready to say that, Karina. The
mm-hmm.
thing about 1619, that was the only radio station that they could get.
Mm-hmm.
Remember in the car, it kept saying, seek 1619, because he kept pressing the button to seek or scan to find
mm-hmm.
out if there's any other stations. And the only one that would come on was 1619. We have to
yes.
remember that this picture was co-produced by Barack Obama and Michelle Obama.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that a lot of times we can't stand them and this and that, but the only thing that I want to do is to say is this. He couldn't have been a president that did all things for black people, because y'all know what would have happened to him. What would have happened? He'd have been hauled out of there. Not even going to finish the term. He'd have been impeached.
Right.
Get this monkey out of here.
Well, the thing is that anybody that's voted into that White House, particularly us,
that's right.
What
that's
basically
right.
we have been put in place to do their bidding. We are not
that's
in
right.
that White House to assist black people or
mm-hmm.
in to assist those that are of any low caliber.
Yeah.
It is
the 1%
to do their bidding. And what is their bidding? Their bidding is
yes.
not to do anything to bring us up out of what we are in. Or they would have done
mm-hmm.
that a long time ago. They do
absolutely.
Not, they're not interested in the people of the Most High. They are not interested in helping. They are in there, and whoever they put in that White House is to do their bidding. And if you are not in there to do their bidding, they will take you down.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I
well,
think the number one thing we have to
understand that.
Yes, I was going to say that. We need to understand that they represent good and evil. And when you look
yeah.
at these
mm-hmm.
trees, that's not the tree of life. That's just good and evil. So sometimes it may come across like, oh, they're doing something a little good for us. Oh,
hmm.
they're doing it. No, it just means that they're balancing good and evil. That's what they're doing. To make sometimes them, their own guilt to go away for what they're doing to their
Maybe.
People.
Maybe.
You know what
mm-hmm.
I mean? But it's definitely not the tree of life. So that's how I found it.
No.
I'm like, this ain't the tree of life. So even though they
didn't think that, I don't think it was the tree of life either. But when we
right.
were slaves, how did we communicate? We couldn't just come right out and say anything, could we?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
right.
We had to hide things in songs and just whatever way we could. That's how we brought it out, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So could it be possible that something was, there was a straight up message being presented to us? And I'm telling you, I got this stuff from other people that I was watching, and I was in shock when I saw all of this. So
no,
I'm going to go on. I'm going to go on and
absolutely.
Tell you, first of all,
yeah,
this I didn't get from anybody. When we first pulled up at that house, what color was that house?
White.
It was a great big white house, right? That they
mm-hmm.
were in there fighting over. Because the Sanford family kept saying, this is, Amanda kept saying, they're in our house. They're in our house. And doesn't that remind you of something?
Yeah.
People coming in and taking something of somebody's and saying, it's our house.
Right.
It's always what they take. It's always what they do. They came here and took the land from the Indians. They, and
it's
screaming
and
yelling,
it's our country.
It's their land. Yeah. And we're taking America back. We're, you know,
mm-hmm.
why are the Indians not saying that, you know?
Yeah, that's
and
where I got that
just language.
Name
and
the
every time. Every time somebody says something, well, you can go back to where you came from. You know, it's
mm-hmm.
it's like, what? But that's the first thing that we noticed, right? And the crazy songs mm-hmm. that they had coming on that there, if you just listen to the words of those songs, they really, really allude to, like, that one by that Backstreet guys, that fact that when she was on, yeah, Never Gonna Let You Go, which it made me think of that picture Lost, like, we ain't getting out of this joint. And only going to see these things after watching it more than once. You're not going to get it in the beginning, right?
You got to watch.
So let me just go on with some of the strange things that were happening. Remember the picture in the bedroom?
Yes.
I don't remember the picture. All over the house were doing things. The picture above the bed kept changing. It was first started out as a calm. Mm-hmm. See, by the time that thing was over, the waves were way up in the air. And I didn't notice that the first time. It was weird. Yeah, that's why you got to go back and watch it again, Aura.
Yeah.
But what do you think that
Well, maybe it symbolized that they were in a ship. And the ship, the waves were getting real wild out there. Almost like Noah's Ark, you know? But it's just showing you that mm-hmm. as the picture went on, the water got more violent. So maybe it was mm-hmm. because things began to be, revealed, what was going mm-hmm. on, that they finally realized we're at war. You know what I'm saying? Because when the first thing happened, when that ship rolled up, they went right back to being normal in a few minutes. As soon as they got to the house, they were just making hamburgers and jumping in the pool and stopping at Starbucks and just, like,
that's exactly what's happening now, too. Things have been mm-hmm. back to normal. After we had this whole, you know, pandemic, whatever you want to call it, now uh-huh. the calm is around. Oh, we can go back to everything how it was. We're almost back, you know.
And that's basically the mindset, because I remember when the Persian Gulf War broke out and President Bush, Mr. Bush, announced we are at war, and they were up there throwing, you know, putting those missiles out, and, you know, you could see it, and they had it all on the TVs in the conference room. My stomach went upside down to know we are out here at war. Father, what can we do? And attorneys in the hallway, and they're going, okay, so how can we capitalize off of this? And I'm like, what kind of a mindset is that? That people are dying right now, and we don't care. We are not interested. And that is just like the same in this movie on no one's even asking, well, what happened? Who is it? How did no one concerned?
They asked a simple question. Remember, they did ask, but it was a simple answer. Oh yeah, a lot of these things are happening up and down the coast. Like, no big deal. Just call
but this
keep
is what
moving
I'm saying,
down.
No real concern.
And they went right back to acting like nothing happened. Couldn't wait for it to be normal mm-hmm. again. Right?
It was really scary. Yeah. That, you know, when they look, you look at something like that. But go ahead.
But
what
I
else
guess
did
that's,
you see?
That's like the devil's way of doing things. He always has a way of separating us. It's almost like everybody's in their own little cocoon, and, you know, mm-hmm. they're not interested in anything else. But that's what the devil does. He takes you away from relationships. He brings you into your own life, and you start, your main focus is yourself. You know, and anything that's not to do with you, well, that's not important. It's not changing anything about you if it's not touching you immediately, you know. Uh-huh.
I think that's all a part of this world where marijuana comes in it.
Yeah.
I'm telling you right now, when you can get that, smoke it by yourself, you're in a whole nother world.
Right.
You can make the world go away. And you can be, I mean, it's to the point that everybody's high. You're driving along the walkway, and you get a contact high, coming into your car from the funeral of in front of you, they're that smoked up. It's terrible.
Yeah.
And then fighting and it, the condition of the world is very similar to that movie that there was no love. Like the scripture said, the love of many shall wax. Don't see the care. Some man, young man, going along right near my shop, stabbing people for no reason. Just stabbing them with an unprovoked. Stab three people right near my shop. Then he got down a little bit further and he stabbed another person, then jumped on the train, and he was sitting on the train, and someone, a man got on the train and sat and said, "Sir, can I sit here?" Because I guess he was taking up a little bit too much room. And he said, "Yeah," and he let him sit there. You don't even know you're sitting next to a maniac. You know what I'm saying? When they get to Parsons and Archer, wherever they were coming from, they get on. Before they get there, the train let up some seats, and there was more room on the train. And the killer said, "Look, brother, you know, there's more room. Go sit over there." And, of course, he's like, "No, I ain't got to go nowhere. I'm staying right here." Well, they argued. They got off the train together, and they argued, and then he stabbed him up when he got off the train. This is just kind of the whole conversation, but they finally caught this person. But it's just that this kind of stuff is no longer strange. It's happening around us. Nobody gives a crap, and things are right in front of my door. This man comes through here screaming and yelling. Then all of a sudden, he strips off all his clothes, right in front of my door, and takes a selfie of himself and continues to scream. I call my husband. I said, "It's time to move. It's time. Where are we going, though?" That's the question. Do we have a bunker? It's like we are not a part of this world. This whole thing that's happening right now, this whole feeling, this world that they're living in, this strange peace. I read a scripture, I think you sent it, Carol, and it said, "Don't seek after their peace, because their peace is madness. Their peace is marijuana. Their peace is alcohol," meaning the world. They don't have the kind of peace that the Most High brings. But this is. This is not the world that we're trying to be a part of. We have to leave this world behind. But go ahead, Carol.
Yes, we do.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Well, I want to just take a couple of steps backwards from when they arrived. When they were on the highway, there were two exits on the highway. One side said Fort Moses, and the other side said Point Comfort. They took the Point Comfort. Now, what is Fort Moses? Fort Moses was a place in Augustine, Florida. And it was the first place that the slaves were able to run to as a free colony or a location for them out of the United States, because Florida wasn't part of it. And the Spanish allowed them to come down there. I could actually read something to you so you guys could learn, you know, if you really want to hear.
All right, I think you should read it, because it all seems like this is all about Keep going, Carol.
But anyway, they So that's where they ran to. So on the highway when they were going, they didn't take that exit. They took the other one, which was Point Comfort, which was the place that they landed in 1619, which was the first real slave port. Mm-hmm. And that was interesting that they did that in the movie, that they showed Fort Moses that way, Fort Comfort. And none of those places are in Long Island, but yet they made those signs look like they were in Long Island. And and when they got to Fort Comfort, when she went out shopping, she went to a marketplace. And we know from history, the marketplace was where they sold slaves at, right? So I thought I found that to be very, very interesting that they chose the slave side or, you know, captivity versus the freedom side. But, of course, they were going to that house, right?
The scary thing is, what are they trying to say? But go ahead, Carol.
Yeah. So with all of that.
They're trying to say everybody going to be slaves next, but I'm sorry. I had to...
That's what it sounds like. That's what it sounds like. We going down, you know, it reminds me of, and I keep saying it reminds me of the Hunger Games, where only those that are up on top have any kind of enjoyment. The rest of us are enslaved to this world. And then it reminds me of in during Noah's time, you know, where they were the Nephilim, they were eating the people and consuming us and, you know, dealing with us on that level. And you can see that happening where this world is eating us up. It's eating us up. It's not helping us in any part. And you know, for us that think that we can actually be a part of this menagerie and okay, you know, if I make enough money, I'll be up there. Trust me, they're not letting you into their game. They're not. And the scripture, Colossians 3 and 2 says, set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth, because these things down here are on their way out. And if we start describing the things that we see, like, let me tell you, that house that that man had was fabulous. It was fabulous. When you first saw that, it's like, I'd love to have that, you know, and it makes you want those things. But what good were any of those things when the world was at war?
That's right.
What good?
And didn't that guy say that? And one of you brought that out already, that like what money, if the government falls, that money won't be worth nothing, right?
Right.
That last lesson the elder gave, that elder gave, where he was talking about the currency, and when that war gets started, it's like you look back. It's like, well, what in the world are we gonna do? You know, I painted my house and I got all these things taken care of over here, and ain't gonna be a doggone thing, because when get ready to drop where you don't even have money to do anything. It wouldn't matter. When they try to start fighting over currency. But go ahead, Carol, say what you were going to say.
The thing that kills me is that they have all types of things, of near-death disasters, and get us so hyped up and scared. And the scripture tells us to fear thou not, for I am with thee, right?
Right.
And
it
says that no matter where you go, even in if you make the grave your bed, he's going to be with you, right? We have to remember that, because I was just talking to someone the other day about Y2K, how they had us so scared. I was going to seminars on all the disasters that were going to take place. Planes were supposed to fall out of the sky and, really crazy stuff, kind of like what was in that picture, because the planes fell out of the sky, remember? And just things crashing, the ship rolled up on there, then all those cars were going wild and blocking the highway. But see, what I'm saying is that once that disaster's over with, like Karina said, we go right back to normal life, like everything's cool. And they get us so used to it, we keep on thinking that, okay, once that's over. But when the real end comes, it's the end. We keep doing these exercises, right?
But I guess that's why Christ is telling us to remember.
remember,
yes.
because he knows that we have a short attention span or something, because we just, we can only stay in where it's our comfort zone. Once it becomes too uncomfortable, we can't stay there. You know, we got to get out of there. So we're only going to remember those things that were comforting. You know what I mean? Because you can't sit in a place of total turmoil too long, you know, or you will totally lose it. So I'm saying, but the things that the Most High wants us to remember, we're not remembering those things. And the fact that he says, remember, why is he telling us to remember these things? You understand what I'm saying? We're not even, you know, those things are not even part of our attention. You know what I'm saying? We're not concerned with that. We're concerned with what the world has said is important to us. But the Most High said to, you know, to look at the things that you can't see, as opposed to the things that you can see. And we're so busy focused on what we're seeing, we're missing what he's seeing, what he's telling us. We're missing his message.
Amen. We get caught up in whatever they're sending out there for us.
Right.
And then we go back and we forget about it. Because I remember when the Trade Center was torn up, when it fell. When we went to church that Sunday, so we were going to the First Day Church then, you couldn't even get in the building. It was so crowded. And we went to a pretty good-sized church. People were in downstairs in the overflow room. They didn't care. They just had to be in that building. And it stayed like that for several weeks, and then suddenly you start looking around, and those people were gone.
Well, it happened in the truth, too. Everybody wanted to get baptized all of a sudden when the pandemic came. It was like people just, oh, we just got to get baptized, you know.
I was just going to say that the Zoom was packed. It was hundreds of people on there.
Everybody wanted to know where could we go to get baptized. But are, are our churches feel like that really now?
No.
Everything has gone back to what they call back to normal, or back to the way where they can still get on their internet and still be alone and still not be bothered by anything.
I just wanted to get back to what we were talking about the symbolism in the movie. There was a part when the teenage son and the sister was inside the cabin. Do you guys remember that?
Yes.
And they were standing side by side, and they both had on different shirts. One of their shirts said Obey, and the other one, they were standing next to each other, and it said NASA. Did you guys catch that?
Yep. Got it. Sure. And the funny thing about the Obey was made to look almost like Barack Obama's T-shirt that said Hope. Remember that one that he had?
Yep.
It was very similar to that, except the face was more, what do you call it, distorted. It was weird looking. It wasn't Obama's face, but it was the picture was similar, very similar. But, yeah, it's like we're supposed to obey NASA. what does that mean, right?
And then I looked up, I guess a brother was talking about it somewhere. He was saying that NASA, the Hebrew, was it Elder? I don't know.
Means to travel.
Yeah, but then someone else put up it means deception, to deceive.
Hmm.
And I was like, I thought that was interesting because people, you know, all over there, you're putting their little things out there. But it's crazy because it's like obey the deception. I was like, that's great. But, yeah, and another thing I wanted to talk about was the bunker at the end. I know everybody remembers the bunker. After that, everyone in the world right now, like that's Hollywood or whatever, talking about the bunkers they have. I don't know if you guys heard, but like Rick Ross is showing, like he's got a bunker, Andrew Tate, different ones are talking about their bunkers. Now, nobody was talking about their bunkers before this movie came out. And we know they had them, but they weren't talking about it. Like it's fashionable now.
You know, when I was taking Hebrew in Gratz College, I know that the guy said that NASA or NASA meant to travel. That's why I said that, because I said to him, oh, wow, that's my grandson's name. That's why I remember that. But I just looked it up in the Strong's Concordance, and it does say what you said. This is H5377,
which means to lead astray.
Yeah.
Or
yeah.
to delude, deceive greatly, utterly, or to seduce. So they're telling us to obey, but the picture, the Nasa thing is saying you're being deceived, right?
Exactly.
So
exactly.
That's very good, Karina, very good. I wanted to also show you guys something that was shown to me in one of the videos that it was really, really what they were showing us, because they showed us so many things that were in reference to slavery. But their names is what brings the whole thing out. They were the Scots, and the other people were the Sanfords. And there is a court case that was Sanford versus Scott. And it was the Drew Scott, the Dred Scott decision.
The Dred Scott.
The Dred Scott decision, which, you know, Dred Scott sued the United States because the law was that if you went to a state that wasn't, if a slave went was in a state that he wasn't, that was a free state, the slave would be free. So his master had taken him to some free state and then brought him back to some slave state, and he married a woman named Harriet Robinson. And the funny thing is, Barack Obama's wife's maiden name is Robinson. But he married her, and they had daughters, and they didn't want their daughters to become slaves, so they sued the United States. And remember the horse farm, that sign that said Pawnee? I don't know if you saw that when he was out there. The father was out there. Clay was out there driving all over the place. And he saw a thing that said Pawnee Farms.
Yes.
Pawnee
yes.
was actually the lead judge on the Supreme Court that wrote the decision that said that Dred Scott wasn't even a citizen, really. So he had no rights to even sue the United States. Black people were not considered citizens. And that was that decision, and also the I think it's the Kansas-Nebraska case, also led up to the Civil War, because the white state, the states rather that didn't have slavery, began to see that the southern states was too economical for them. They were winning as far as economies were concerned because they had free labor, and the northern states didn't have it. So that is what led up to the Civil War. So the message is this. Is there going to be a court case in the United States that leads up to, what did that guy say the end, the way to take a country down is? He said, first, isolation, turn off all their communication so they don't know what's going on. And then chaos, right, with all that stuff that was going on, the bombing, the highways being stopped off. It was a mess. And the final
noise.
Stage, yeah, the noise, the planes falling out, the ship going up on land. What's the last stage? Civil War, to the top, right? So what are we looking at? Are we looking at a court case that might go to the Supreme Court that could cause a civil war in this country? Yeah, we are.
Yeah.
So we are. Those cases, that the one that says whether or not Trump can be on the ballot, that's going to the Supreme Court right now. Suppose they say no, that he can't. You know them folks are going to go crazy. You know they're going to go crazy. I mean, they went crazy on January 6th. They're going to really go crazy now. And so maybe this is a message, like you guys were saying in the beginning. We better prepare. We always do that. Like I said, Y2K, people had their closets stocked. Everything was carrying on, waiting for the planes to fall out of the sky, and then we go back to normal. We better do what the ants, the Most High told the ants to do. What was that? They have no overseer, but they're prepared, aren't they?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
always. Did any of y'all notice that about the name?
I didn't notice that. I didn't.
And you know what else was weird to me was that they were in the basement. They were in the basement. And the other people whose house it wasn't was in the upstairs, no matter what. Even like when they came back, they were still upstairs and they were downstairs.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Not
they
only that, the man, the Hebrew man, his demeanor was humble. Like he came to the door like he was
in
place.
I'm just trying to understand
amazing.
What he represents.
He was amazing. I just know that. He was amazing. Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sometimes it came across as wisdom because it seemed like he was being meek, trying to show his daughter. So I got different things from him. But then it also seemed like he was just reminded. So I kind of figured maybe his wife was Esau, the one that might have went down on the plane.
Yeah, we don't know.
They never told us that. They never said what the little girl said.
Remember what the daughter said? The daughter said, when things fall apart, trust should not be doled out to anybody, especially who? She said, especially white people.
White
she man. Said, and mom would agree with this.
What? That's what made me think she was Esau, but the mom was down, though.
Because she said mom would agree with this.
Yes, because you know why? I know women who are married to, you know, our men and stuff like that, and they cool. They look at it like, listen, I'm down for the call. So I feel like, I don't know. And to me, I still think that she was.
You might be right.
Right.
They didn't show us.
But
they
never
said. You know what? This story is based on a book that was made in 2022 called by the same name. But in the book, the person that was with, what's his name, Mashallah Ali, the black guy, wasn't his daughter. It was his wife. And I believe she was black. And when I was starting to read it. I believe she was black. But that's so funny what you said, Karina. That's hysterical.
Listen, I got some homegirls like, listen, down for the cause, like, listen, if it's going down, I'm with y'all. I'm like, oh, all right.
But see, the question is, when this thing happens, will we be there protecting one another? Or will we be looking out for ourselves, like, no, you're not getting any of my food? Or anything like that. Will we be able to stay righteous when this stuff starts happening? You know?
Yeah.
Or will our hearts wax cold looking out for our own families? Because we've never been put in that kind of position where it's so-called survival of the fittest and that everybody is looking to put you into some kind of a lockdown. And so if you've got a few foods and you've got some stuff, you know, it's like, I don't want people to know I got this because they're going to try and take it, you know, or are we putting things together to make sure that if Karina comes to my house with all five of them children, you know, rolling up in here, am I going to say, come on in, Rini, come on in. Have some soup, you know. I got a little bit, but you can have some. Will our hearts go there? Or will it be, you know, Rini, I only got two cans left. You could take that, but y'all go ahead on. Carol's house is down the block a few more streets. Check her out. you understand? Because honestly, when you start to think about when these things start to happen and we start worrying about ourselves, will we care? Will we be able to keep our hearts in tune? That, and I'm thinking that way because sometimes it's like, even with my daughter, one of my daughters said, look, Mom, why are we still here? Why don't you get up and just leave? Let's get out of here. And I'm like, listen, I can't. My children are here. I've got too many things I got to watch over. I cannot just run out of here and feel comfortable with my kids, you know, left here by themselves. Well, I'm thinking like that right now, but what will we think I tell you, it's like, if Christ doesn't soon come, will he find faith upon the earth?
Amen. Amen.
You understand?
Amen.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes. Yes.
You know,
yeah,
something else I thought about is this, is that would this, whatever was going on in our country, would that be just in the United States or would that spill over to somewhere else? We don't know. And the other thing I was going to say is that, I don't know if you guys noticed, but they kept panning out showing the eclipse as if that was a sign, like there'll be an eclipse. And the reason I'm bringing that out is something that that little girl said. She asked her mother, what was that that they call those shows that they used to show over and over again on television?
Reruns.
She said a rerun, right. So are we looking at a rerun is what the message is that because everything they do is a rerun. Am I right? Everything they do, every war they always have the same line. This is what happened. This guy killed his own people. And, you know, it's always the same line. And we fall for it time and time again. Weird. But this, whatever's getting ready to happen, we've seen this show before. And we'll be ready. What's that noise?
Yeah.
Must be
Shirley. I don't hear anything. Thank you, Carol.
I hear it. It was like,
go ahead. All right, let's go on. Let's
something
go on.
Rolling. I said it must be Shirley because every time we're on the phone, she's clinking, clanking, all kinds of things.
Better cut it out. Better cut it out. You know.
Well,
so,
another aspect of the movie was the animals. I know you peeped the deer. And
those
you know,
the life out of me.
I know.
I didn't understand what the purpose of that was. I didn't understand what that was for. And there were a few things that they just left open that didn't make any sense. But go ahead.
Well, I can tell you what the animals mean. Yeah, because you see this in a lot of events where the animals hear, they know what's happening before, and they're trying to warn you. Like,
right.
So that's what that represented to me. It's like the animals are just trying to warn you, like, listen, something's going down. You're not getting it. And even though it seemed like they were trying to, you know, at one point they felt threatened by the animals, but I don't think that's what the animals were there to do. I think they were just trying to give, you know, give them a heads up, like, this is more serious than what you think.
You know,
so it was almost like a wake-up call.
Yeah, you know what? Remember what Mashallah Ali said, the black guy? He said, the scariest thing is when no one's in control. And the animals were acting like things were out of control, like those flamingos up there in the swimming pool. Flamingos are only in tropical, like Florida and down below. I've never seen a flamingo in floating around in one of New York City's harbors. I've never seen that. And then when that radio came on, it said bird migration patterns are being interrupted. I don't know what they were doing, but it must have been with that cyber attack or whatever that it was sending strange signals everywhere. Remember the booms and all that stuff? Who could explain that? But like you said, the animals knew something was wrong.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right. Yeah.
You know, when those deers came and surrounded him, that big one that was in the middle, man, I didn't like him. He looked real
I didn't like him.
I thought they were going to charge them and, you know, trample them, but they got out of that one.
Right.
And I had no idea what the teeth meant.
Wait,
no,
what part?
I had no idea. The teeth, with that young boy's teeth coming out of his mouth.
Oh, yeah. I think Elder spoke on, or someone spoke on that, like he was having a reaction. It was almost like him getting bit by the animal, whatever the insect was. It was like getting
isn't
that what happens to you when you get radioactive poisoning, though?
Your teeth's not falling out.
Oh, that's right. And your hair and things like that.
Like that. Saying somehow he was exposed to the radiation because of the way something was, because they actually explained that, you know.
Yeah,
and
like
he, that's
he
why he went to that guy's house to get that medicine to stop it, you know. So I'm just saying, but it's so weird because the weather is becoming like this. It's like the weather is the same almost everywhere. You know, here we are, the people in New York, having the same weather you're having down in the South. That's very odd.
And colder. We were colder than you guys were.
Yeah.
That was nuts. Like, I called you up and y'all were talking about you were 30-something. We were in the 20s.
Right,
and then
right.
14
like
and all that mess.
Right. Like, everything is becoming upside down. It's crazy.
Yeah.
But then again, it's like, everything is becoming part of the same. I don't know. Maybe they're talking about when they say the one world order, maybe they're talking about everything in one world order. You know what I'm saying?
You mean like everybody having the same weather?
Yeah, everything is like in one world order.
Well, that's very interesting. I call Carol and it's warmer up here than it is down south in the nighttime and early in the morning. So they're doing things for sure.
Yeah.
And even though, like I said, I'm a huge fan of global warming because I don't like this cold weather. But the bottom line is it's really bad what's actually happening, that they're trying to control everything. But the funny thing is we are closer to the end than we think.
Yeah. Yep.
We're closer. That these things are happening in front of us, and it's all a distraction to knock us off balance. How do we leave this world behind?
And you know, it's so funny.
How do we do that?
I was just going to say that before I say that, Keisha said, she sent me, she's like, tell them that it was in the movie, it said, the high frequency was the thing that made his teeth fall out. Just the
okay.
But I was just going to say, even as we're talking about this movie and the dynamics, this is where we're at right now too. Like we are really here, and it is a time where, like, as a recent, even more so, I've been in my scriptures. I've been praying down heaven. Like I just. You know, it's like I kind of just pull away from anything outside of what the Most High is saying right now. I don't want to be distracted from the world and what's happening in the sense of, oh, keeping up with, you know, what the columnist just said or, you know, whatever the case is. It's like my spiritual side has been reactivated. Like, I mean, it's crazy, but it really is where we all need to be right now, in tune to the Holy Spirit and the Most High, because honestly, we are at the end of the end. And if you've been in this truth as long as a lot of us have, you know, since, you know, 12 years, whatever the case might be, you know, we've seen the time go by. Like, oh, we first get in, it's like, oh my goodness, we gotta get out. Okay, this is happening. This is it. Look. But it's really happening now. Like,
that's right.
It's almost like the countdown has happened at the pandemic, where we were like, oh, wait, this is a real event. This is an event that we can mark as something that, and then ever since then, it's been revved up. I mean, revved up.
Yep.
And then even the time going by so fast. I mean, we're going from Sabbath to Sabbath in 2 seconds. If you blink, it's a Sabbath again. You're right. Yeah, am I right? Yeah, it's crazy.
You're
that's right.
Right.
And all of that is like the Most High is saying, get ready, I'm coming. I'm sending my son back fast. Like, get it together. Make sure you're right. Make sure your heart is right. Make sure your mind is right. Don't even get distracted as much as everything else, because when he come back and he want us without a wrinkle, without a spot, and we got to stand before him, it's like, who cares that so-and-so hated you for 30 years? Like, who cares? I don't want to go to hell, okay? I don't want to miss him. So that's just my last little thing.
Well, you know what? When I first was told to watch it, I honestly thought it was going to be a
a religious program showing us to leave the world behind, kind of like how Lot had to leave the world behind. Yeah. And it was ended up being that. I was in shock. But we know that that message for us, like you guys have been saying, is get ready. You're going to have to leave this world behind. What we know, you're going to have to drop.
Right. You know, I guess it's going to be like when they rained down that fire and brimstone when Lot tried to take Lot and his family out. How many of them wanted to go? And then they kept looking. He said, "Don't look back." How come he knew we were going to look back? And that lady that turned into salt. Wow. But I'm just saying, because he ended up having to drag them out with his hand. Yes. They wasn't ready to leave, even though this world was getting ready. If somebody came and told you they're getting ready to blow this place up, why would you be talking about, let me get this or let me get that? You know what I'm trying to say?
Is there anything that you would try to get if somebody said the house was on getting ready to blow up? Is there anything you try to get?
Well, I should hope not, because if they're telling you only got a few seconds, I mean, time was of the essence. You better come on out of there. I mean,
you better have that bag on your back. Have it on your back already. Just be ready.
That's right.
It's called a go bag, right? You better grab it and go.
Yeah. but see, at that time, when they had to get out of there, they didn't have time to get no go bag, because first of all, they wasn't even aware that anything was going to happen. They came. The angel came and told Abraham.
Mm-hmm.
Abraham, the one who interceded for them, to say, look, if there were so many amount of people who were going to be there, you know.
Exactly.
So I'm saying, when he came out there and he came to get them, they were all like, okay, you know, like we'll go. And then they said, because one of them, I think Lot even said, well, we can't go to that place because we want to go to someplace else. You know, I would go anywhere. Look away from that
anywhere
place.
Anywhere,
you know?
But here, right? Anywhere,
yeah.
But here.
I'm just
That's
saying, the they, you know, they were so, they were really, really part of that world that they couldn't let it go. His wife definitely couldn't let it go. But he didn't take all his kids with him, because I think them sons stayed behind, didn't they?
The sons stayed behind.
I think
behind.
He was only took two daughters with him.
Two daughters, two daughters. And he took the wife, which he couldn't let go. And you know what, Joe? Or rather, think about it. If someone was taking you out and you knew your sons were still in there,
right?
You know, I don't know how you'd feel, because the most time we know that you're standing in front of him by yourself. It won't be where you got, I can blame my husband, or I can, you know what
right.
I'm saying? So
right.
You're going to be alone. Are we ready to do that?
Right. I guess that's like a warning to us, because not everybody's going to even want to be with us, even our own children. They're going to all want to go their own way.
They're already doing that, right?
Yeah, I know. But, I mean, you know, we always try that one-ditch effort. Like, they just, you know,
yeah.
It's like, they're going to come, life's going to come through, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And maybe that's what she was doing. Other people were saying, like, you know, maybe she saw, you know, like they had just bought new furniture or whatever. You know, it's like, how you going to leave that there? You know what I'm saying? It's like, wait a minute. We just got settled here, because they hadn't been there that long, you know, because they had settled on going to this other land. And Lot's wife had a lot to say about a lot of things until her mouth was shut. Because she was a big influence on her husband, because she said, look, you don't have to keep listening to your uncle. Let's not do what he wants to do. Let's branch off on our own. Why do we have to do what he says? Girl, if you know somebody that's holier than you are, you better stop me doing something that they're doing, you know?
Gosh.
I don't know, but you know what? I think it is. What was that thing we was looking at that they were saying? Maybe the Most High is trying. Remember in that Color Purple where they kept saying maybe the God is trying to tell you something? Is trying to
mm-hmm.
say something to you? And you know, like,
God just keeps on sending us these things, and then we still go back to our normal routine. You know, it's like he's saying this, and we go, oh, yeah, we get real serious, and then the next 5 minutes, because we can't stay in that. We can't stay in that, you know, to make ourselves grow. We got to stay in that place to continue to ask God, well, what are you showing me? You know, like, what should we do? You know, it's like maybe, I don't know.
And you know, when we keep seeing a repeat of the same thing, when are we going to just get the message and say, I'll be ready no matter what, right?
Yeah, yeah. That's right. When are we going to get that message? I know the Most High is probably saying, my stiff neck children. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, yeah. Right about that.
Wow. So nobody wanted to press the button to even make a comment? Tell Keisha she had to press that button.
Let me just take a look. Let me see who's in there. I don't see anybody. Wait. We have someone in the queue. Oh, we have a few people. Okay, let's see what these presumptuous flower girls are talking about. Area code 912, you are on the air with the Daughters of Zion. Area code 912, don't hide.
Hi. My name is Maya. I'm from the upstate.
Hi,
city.
Maya. Hi, how are you?
Hiya. I'm great. I'm sorry, my baby's doing a lot in the background, so I'm walking into this room. I've wanted to make this rant since college, so I'm so excited that this movie gave me the chance to do so. I thought it was so powerful that they chose to show Friends for the argument that they were making for this, because I feel like they kept saying Friends. They could have picked any show that would have kind of given that same or given their point of like sitcom, but they chose Friends, and I feel like because there were so many references in this movie to Black culture, they knew that we would kind of relate it back to the show Living Single.
Yes,
and how
definitely.
Living Single for us was like, it was such a beautiful show. And so when the woman was sitting by the pool, the Black woman was sitting by the pool, and she's like, it's so interesting that your daughter is like obsessed with, the show Friends. I was like, oh, she's about to make my rant. I'm so excited. And then she said,
hold on, let me hold this baby so she doesn't cry. And
okay. So I thought she was going to make my point. But she didn't. She said, it's nostalgic for a time that never existed. And I thought that was so interesting. You watch that show Friends. None of them are really nice to each other. Like, they're supposed to be friends, but nobody's nice to each other. They talk about that man. One of the main things I remember about the one of those guys is how many times he was divorced, how many times he was left at the altar. Like, what kind of friend group reminds you of that several times? For that show to be friends, for that show to be like this idea of this beautiful group, and they're not even nice to each other. But when you look at Living
Single, right.
Yeah,
absolutely right. They weren't nice to each other.
And
all she was worried about is Rachel going to stay with Ross and all this crazy stuff that was going on in that show. And she was only 13 years old. What was she doing watching that show?
Exactly. And so it's just interesting because if you watch Living Single, like, there was so much love for each other. Like, that cousin that all these other shows had that one, like, friend that wasn't as smart. They never made fun of it for it. They were genuinely like, that was just an example of love. And that couple, like, that couple, I personally haven't seen a couple that was as powerful as Maxine. And I don't remember his name. I'm blanking on his name. But
Kyle,
they had to, I feel like they really had to shut that show down, because the only way for that couple to get together was for her and her kind of like a little bit masculine energy. She really had to, he made her have to bring that energy down and to submit to him to be the power couple that they would have been if that show was able to finish. And that would have been such a big statement for our people to sit there and say, like, if you submit to your man, y'all could be this beautiful couple. That was the only way that So could have really ended. And so they had to send Carl off and, I mean, threaten the whole team. Like, you watched that last season, and you know something happened. Because I love that show. I was binging that whole show in college. I loved it. And I was like, there's no way this last season is this terrible. Something had to have happened. And I started looking into the whole history of the show. Like, what happened to Kyle? Why did he leave the show? Like, why did the character...
Wasn't he an alcoholic? Wasn't he the one that was an alcoholic who just died recently?
Oh.
No.
I didn't know that, but...
One of them died.
Oh, I think it was the plumber guy.
Overton.
I think he... Yeah. But
the plumber guy.
Overton.
Sorry, I forgot everybody's name. Oralton.
I remember everybody's name. His name was Overton.
I'm terrible
his
with names.
His name was Overton. Was that his real name?
No, that was just his name on
the
show.
No, that was on the show.
I did watch that show like 3 times, but I'm terrible at names. But
you used to call him
Obi. Yeah, Obi. No,
the one that died, the one that died was Chandler died. He was Matthew Perry.
Oh, yeah, he died from Friends. She's talking about the other show, but yeah, he died from Friends.
She's talking about Living Single. Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm talking about Living Single. So,
and we do... We do know that that was a spinoff off of Living Singles. You know that.
Oh,
they,
no,
they
stole
copied
it.
That in.
They stole it, yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, they did. And in that last season, like, because he stood up. Like, Kyle stood up to them and was like, y'all are taking all of our resources and you're giving it to Friends and it's not okay. And because he stood up and he said that to them, they kicked Kyle off the show. They're like, okay, we're going to have you casually leave, and you'll be back in the next season. Don't worry about it. And they kicked him off. And all the characters on the show were, you like in real life, were going to Kyle as their voice. And they were using him, and they felt like the writers of the show or whatever were like, you know, Kyle, you need to tell these actors to calm down. He's like, no, they're speaking for themselves. I'm just letting you know, like, there are some things in the show that you need to pick. And so when Kyle was loud like that, they kicked him off the show because they needed the characters on that show to be quiet, basically. Queen Latifah, everybody on that show, they were like, y'all need to be quiet. And because they got friends, they looked over and they're like, Friends is doing all this, is getting all of our resources, and we're the main, not only are we the original show, but we're a great show. Y'all putting us on bad hours so nobody can watch us, and y'all giving all the resources and all our same lines over to Friends. And they're like, y'all have stolen our entire show, and you're doing it one thing over, and then Friends was trying to act like they didn't exist. Like, some of the actors on the show were like, oh, I wish there was a black version of Friends so y'all could have a show too. Like, they wrote tweets and all this stuff making fun of them. So it's just like, the Friends show literally killed that show. The only reason that show had such a bad ending was because Friends killed it. And I really feel like they had to, because us rising, like, if that black couple, Maxine and Kyle, rose up and showed an example of what submitting to your man could have done for our people, that would have been powerful. So I feel like the fact that that movie was there was kind of like this, he saw it like the end of the world, but we will be the show that follows. Like, we will be the thing that follows, because y'all can have, like, they could have this kind of, like, peaceful little show or this little sitcom, but at the end of the day, it's got to be, like, you know, that doesn't exist. That was never real. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like, there's
never
going
real.
To be... Exactly. So I just thought that was my favorite thing, because I've been, again, making that rant since college, and I was just glad that they used that show as the reference. And that was it. That's all I wanted to say. Oh,
well,
I
thank you, Maya.
No problem. I also...
All right.
And I don't
what
know
did
what
she think?
Means, but I... Oh, I'm sorry.
No. What were you saying?
The deer. I don't know anything about why they kept showing the animals or the deers, but I do know in the movie Get Out, they kept referencing deers too. Like, the movie the Get Out movie. It was always dear.
That's right. They did in the very beginning. You're right.
I don't think that the deer on the wall. He used that deer to like break into a room. He used like the deer head. So I don't know what it was, but I feel like there's something there.
And didn't he kill the doctor with the head, the horns of the deer?
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think they used like 3 or 4 references to deer in the Get Out movie, and then they kept using the deer in this movie. So I don't know why, but I kind of wanted to look into that. I just never have.
That was good.
And that's those are all my fans. Thank you so much for listening.
Thank you. Thanks for sharing.
All right, sister. Thank you so much. I appreciate your time. I'm going to put you back in. All right. And we got another person in the queue. Area code 718. You on the air with the Daughters of Zion. And we're talking about Leave the World Behind. Are you able to do that by any chance?
Yes. Shalom. Shalom, sisters.
Shalom.
Shalom.
Shalom. Who's it?
Shalom. Yeah, this has been a really great discussion. I know
this
family.
Boy.
So, yeah, this is Nikisha.
Yeah, how you doing, sis?
Doing well. How's everybody?
Everybody's good. Go ahead, talk about
it. Just wanted to, I was just like, looking for everything, all the little details in this movie, and of course our family, we would have been discussing it like crazy, like after watching it over, you know, just several different times. And it's a few points that I wanted to, something that I noticed. There was another piece of artwork in the house that constantly kept changing throughout the movie. In the living room area, there's a black and white painting, and as the movie goes on, it just shows how things are getting more and more chaotic, and it starts looking more and more chaotic. And I also found out about the deer, because the dad, Clay, when his daughter, I think her name was Rose, that had finally told him about the deer that she saw, the number of deer, and he's like, you know, does that mean anything? And so the dad, Clay, was like, only in Mesoamerican mythology. So I went to look up in Mesoamerican mythology what deer represents. And so this is what I found. It says, like, and Mesoamericans, you know, that's, you know, Northern Kingdom, Mayans and things like that, Essex. So it says, like other Mesoamericans, the Maya generally considered the wilderness and its denizens, including deer, to be associated with chaos, immorality, and disease. So
that's the opposite of what he said. Because remember, he said it was like a good omen, remember?
Yeah.
He said it was a good thing.
He said that, but it was just
chaos.
Like, it's an omen just to as a warning, showing them what they weren't able to see until the end. You know what I'm saying?
Oh,
like, because
a warning.
Because they were away from the city. And all these things are being unleashed in the city that they didn't find out until the end. You know what I'm saying? That all this craziness was going on. And, you know, and you see certain elements of that, because even in their little part of where they were, it was elements of chaos, the immorality, you know, between Mashallah Ali's character and Julia Roberts and the son. You know, he was kind of being a little bit of a creep. And, and the disease that the son experienced. So we could just see those elements even, you know, in their little, you know, their little private area and what was going on around them, too, at the same time. And I also discovered another thing at the end. You know, the name of the bunker, Timotis, was the name of the bunker, you know, the company that makes the bunker.
You mean, the shed?
The bunker at the end
where the
daughter went to.
Yes, where she found the underground bunker and she found the end of friends.
Oh, right. What was it called?
Commodus. It sounds like a Greek or Roman name. So I went to go look it up, and actually, so in the movie, it's like the bunker is manufactured by a company called Commodus Survival Shelters. Now, Commodus was a Roman emperor whose reign generally marks the end of the golden age of peace in the Roman Empire.
We
know that America is what? It's still an extension of the daughter of Rome, you know, so it's like saying that this is the end of peace, you know. It's like little things like that that they were trying to bring out and show, you know, throughout the movie, you know, and it's like, it was crazy.
That was excellent.
Yeah. Wow. I think I might have missed part of it, but I'm sorry.
No, I was just going to say, when you brought out the point about the deer, that also goes back to when the young lady before you had brought out with Get Out, when the deer came out on the road or they hit the deer and we know they were on their way to, you know, the brother getting, asleep or whatever
right.
she said, you know,
right.
sunk over in the sunken place. So that was like that same kind of warning, like with the definition of it that you brought out, you know, what it means. Mm-hmm. So that was good. That's crazy though.
Wow, that was crazy. And just another fun fact about Mashallah Ali, do you know that he's named after the second son of Isaiah? Did anybody notice that? His full name, he shortens it. The Mashallah is a short version of his name, but it's Mahershalal Hashbaz, I believe you pronounce it, but it was he's named after the prophet Isaiah's second son. I thought that was interesting too, the fact that
amazing. Wow.
I was just like trying to find out everything and just like all this stuff. So it's very interesting. And
okay, so I just want to ask you guys one question. What was with that dance?
Talking about the
dance.
Julia Roberts?
Julia Roberts, those moves. What?
Can I share my theory? They trying to speak to, I guess, like either people who are considered to be boomers or Generation X, I think, with that regard. You know what I'm saying? Because people who were like either in their teens in the 90s, it was like, you know, the whole reference to the 90s R&B and things like that, it resonates with, like, certain groups, I would say, you know, more so than some other. Like, I know it might be some younger generations because their parents kind of, you know, put them on to, you know, expose them to, you know, that type of music. But all in all, it was kind of like, it's like they were trying to, like, they were trying to make her character more relatable, first of all, like, what she was in the beginning. In the beginning, she was just like...
she was letting her hair down.
Right. So maybe she was like, okay.
That dance reminded me what was her name in Seinfeld, Cheryl, that was dancing like that?
Elaine.
What's her name?
Elaine.
Listen, I still laugh at Elaine's dance. Like, I still, that thing was so bad. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness.
Oh, boy. Well, that was some good comments. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Nikisha. Appreciate that.
I think I might have missed part of it, but did everybody notice the 666 imagery in the movie?
You can say it. Go on and bring it out. You were talking
in the opening scene when the husband is in the bed, Clay is in the bed, and there's like on the left side, his left side, it's a 76ers mug. and like an old fashioned alarm clock. And you can see the 6, 76, the 6 is like highlighted. And then I think the clock was like 6:30, something like that. And then it was a digital clock on his right side, and it was like set to 6, you know, whatever 6 o'clock it was. So they put these little, what they call Easter eggs and stuff all throughout. And that's what I found was interesting.
They can't help themselves, it seems, right?
They can't help themselves. You know, also what I want to say, you know, according to their Talmud, it's like if they tell you what their plans are, it absolves them of the wrongdoing of the, you know, the sin that comes from it, you know, according to what they believe. You know, we know that's not true.
Yeah,
so.
And you know what it reminds me of, too, is like when the Most High says that he has to reveal things to his prophets. This guy is revealing stuff to his prophets, too, right?
Right.
Right.
Right, right, absolutely. But yeah, this was a great, you know, discussion tonight. The water.
It was fun.
Yeah, it was definitely.
Definitely. Thank you so much.
Oh, bless you, Nikisha.
Oh, bless you. Right. Love y'all. Love y'all.
Love you too, sweetie. I'm gonna put you back in. All right. So I just think that we should talk about now. Carol, are you done or you got more? If you got more, bring it out.
No, I'm done. That's why I asked you to bring people on.
Yeah, I think we need to talk about how we can leave this world behind. You know, because we don't need to be a part of their funhouse, because that's what they're dealing with here. We need to make sure we're not connected to this menagerie, that how can we, like, for instance, how they showed that we were so darn connected with our digital stuff, you know, that we could not even pay attention to what was going on around us. Are we there?
Uh-huh.
You know what I'm saying? How can we start disconnecting from
world? Maybe we should start by trying to take at least 1 or 2 days out of the week that we release ourselves from all our gadgets and things, and then slowly but surely try to, just like me, I've committed all my brothers and sisters' phone numbers to my head. Because suppose, let's just say, you don't have your cell phone. There was a comedian that told a joke. He said, the worst thing about jail is you don't have your cell phone. You don't know anybody's number. So that's just a very tiny thing. But I was asking someone, do you think that the Amish felt anything when all of that stuff started falling apart? Did they feel it? They're not connected to any of this.
I think that go ahead, Karina.
No, I was just going to say, I think it's time for us to utilize all the things that we've been collecting over the years, all the information, walkie-talkies, you know, just start to get familiar with the things that we have. Because I know, like, you know, we'll collect all these different things, gadgets and, you know, different things, but we never use it. You don't even know how to do it.
And that's a funny thing you should say, because it's just like they show, like, people have fire extinguishers in their house, but when the fire comes on, they don't know how to use it, because nobody really stopped to take time to learn how to operate that machine, you know, that piece of apparatus. And so I think that's a good idea, Rainy, that we start, like my daughter, Giovanni, she seems to be backing up off of most of these electrical items that at least she's starting to knead dough with her hands instead of just using the not Vitamix, what do you call that one? The KitchenAid, even though she has one. So I'm thinking we need to, like you said, start backing up off of some of these things. Even if it's just for the Sabbath, that we could put, is it possible to put our cell phones down?
for the Sabbath, other than maybe using it in an emergency. Of course, we're not going to be, you know, scribes and Pharisees, you know, pharisaical about it. We have to take everything under the guise of love. But the bottom line is we've got to figure out how to leave this world behind. Because on John 15 and 19 says, if you were of the world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Now, why do we want to be a part of something that hates us? You know, why do we even want to be a part of that?
We're not of the world.
You know what I mean?
So we're supposed to have left the world behind a long time ago, right?
A long time ago. A long time ago, but we haven't. We have assimilated to the point that we're fully engaged, and we have got to start to take these grave clothes off because we're so bound up and tied up tight in it that we don't realize that we're still part of this thing. And that's why I was asking that, will our hearts go after one another when the end comes and we cannot survive? Will we be willing to share that piece of bread with our brother that doesn't have anything? You know, because right now we have tons of coats, tons of shoes, tons of this, tons of that. We've got to start getting rid of some of this worldly stuff, because when it's time to go, we may be Lot's wife. We may not be able to release it. Sometimes I think about when I was on my job and I was a big shot. You know what I mean? At least you think you are. Don't like the powers that be will let you know after a while you ain't nothing up in here. But when you think you've arrived, when they get ready to let you go, you learn something, you know, that you're not really that important to them. You're not. And sometimes it takes that fool to learn, but we need to figure this out now, how we can let go. But my question to myself was, when the time came when the COVID shots were out and they were threatening to throw you off your job, would I be able to walk away from that job? Because I was fully engaged. And I think the Lord knew I might have a little bit of trouble. He took me off ahead of time. You know, God knows how to love you. You know that, right?
Yeah, sure, right.
He knows how to love you because he knows.
Well, you know, that's a funny thing, because when the COVID thing came, my job offered people volunteer separation, and I took it. And right after that, they said, anybody that doesn't take the shot, they're terminating. So, look, I got a separation package. The Lord gave me that. Because I wasn't taking that shot, I just would have been terminated with nothing. But he got me out of there prepared with something to walk away with. Many people took that package. But I'm just saying, once they put out that edict that they gave everybody a certain day to get that shot, and if you didn't get it, and you were terminated. So I know all the people that are still at that company that I worked for, they all had to take the shot, and they said no exceptions.
Yeah.
Well, I guess that's something we all need to go walk away from this tonight show with, thinking about how will we begin to leave the world behind and really, really get serious about this.
I
and I thought about something,
because
Elder Ricard was saying that purchase whatever books you can to hold on to real books, because if the internet disappeared, what would you have? Would you even have a Bible?
Oh,
you know?
I know, because I see people always on their phone for the Bible. I have no criticism for that, but it's the truth. But let's look at Romans 12 and 2. It says, be not conformed to this world, And you guys know we can say whatever we want, but we are conformed. Mm-hmm. We may not be in clubs, and we may not be smoking marijuana, but there are a lot of things in this world that are tied up in our lives that we got to get rid of.
Yeah.
It says, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, because it's our minds that are in this world. That's the hard part, getting our minds out of this world. I have a lot of trouble with that because I know that, you know, we start walking close to the Most High. And this is why we need to be more in the Word and more closer and, you know, dig down into the deep of the Word more often, because as the more we stay in it, the stronger we become, you know, because I like when we first started studying the truth, can you look back at your life and say, when you first got in here, how much zeal you had and how strong you were? And then you look back and you're like, you laid back a little more. Don't you see that a little bit? Where you
Absolutely.
You know, and we've got to get back. We've got to stir those things up in our heart,
yes,
so that we can become.
You know what?
Closer.
The other day, I was driving down the street and I saw a church with a sign on it that said Revival, January 27th through something. And I was like, you know, I haven't seen one of those in so long. I haven't heard of any churches having revivals anymore. They used to have those.
It's true.
All the time. And my mom told me that people get confused thinking it's just for new souls to come to the Lord. But she said to revive means to bring yourself back to life. It's an opportunity,
yes,
to, like you said, stir it up, get your thoughts,
mm-hmm,
in order, make you remember where you came from and that Damascus Road experience, that,
mm-hmm,
this was,
mm-hmm,
you know, the most important thing that ever happened to you in your life. How do we walk closer and closer with the Lord?
Yeah. And to be transformed,
so
we need to make sure we're transformed.
Maybe that should be the next program, Cheryl, that we talk about that,
mm-hmm,
next week.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because that's the most important thing, that we can be able to shed this world. 1 John 2:15 says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. We got some examining to do to make sure we're not squinting at that scripture. You know how you can squint at something and then you don't see all of it? You're looking at,
uh-huh,
it a little bit. You know? And we have to figure that out, because there's some things in this world that are what we might say is fabulous. 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 And that doesn't, I don't know what that means to draw the line for you. You know what I'm saying? I know I had to draw some lines. I had to come down off of a lot of things. And I still got a long distance to go, because leaving the world behind, when we think of Lot's wife, she couldn't do it. She couldn't let it go. Will that be us? It got quiet. Like, you know, there was silence. There was silence in heaven for about the space of a half an hour, you know. But anyway, all right. So we can pick up that and start to figure out how we can let the world go, you know.
Yeah. Wow.
Even if we only talk a few minutes about it. And I did want to throw this out there. And we're not recording anymore, but I think we can still be heard. Because we're over time. But I wanted to talk about, hold on, I think I see, no, I don't. I wanted to talk a little bit about, like, what's going on in the churches right now and how the churches are being destroyed right in front of our eyes, and
yeah,
how if people are coming out of the churches. We need to be there to grab them up. We need to be there to show them, no. This is what God said for us to do. This is okay. because you got ministers, big ministers like T.D. Jakes. Come on, guys. This man, if you've ever listened to him, very good speaker, smart, intelligent. We have huge crowds of people circling him. And now, what are they saying about him? Anybody?
Well, they're saying that he's doing some shit, he's a homosexual. That's what the P. Diddy and his party.
Yeah.
It's very frightening.
Yeah.
He's going to make a lot of people stumble.
A lot of people are going to stumble because he's now being deemed that he's, what is this fornication thing? This is a stronghold that is attached. But see, I know firsthand because I was in a church where there was nothing but homosexual men, nothing but. And in there, you never saw so much jumping and shouting and screaming and singing and praising, so-called praising God. You never saw so much in all your life.
Right.
But these men would leave out of there and they would go and deal with each other.
Yeah,
and
don't that
women,
seem like the end of an age, man?
Yeah,
don't that seem like
the last
part of the, it's like the camp the straw that broke the camel's back, you know what I'm saying? Once they
right.
were in that sexuality and stuff in there.
And
right.
that and that was in the '70s, guys. Here we are up here in this year. And that was way back then. And the sisters that were in the church that was so desperate to be with a man married these homosexuals. Most of them got divorced. I don't know any that stayed together, but they got divorced. And then that's why when they start talking, and they start talking, and many of the brothers that were in the church that I was in, including the music director, died of AIDS. But the thing is that they figured out a way to help them live long now. You know?
Yeah.
And God bless them because that gives them an opportunity to change. But the thing is that when you see this, these sisters, you know, people, they all the world is talking about how his wife, she was in it. She knew he was. She this. But you see, this woman, like most of the sisters that were in the church that I was in, they thought they could change these men. They also thought, and you got to give them this, that the power of the Most High God is able to change this man.
Yeah.
You got to give them that they believe that. But the problem is, were these people really changed? This is a serious monkey on their back. Serious.
Yeah.
You know? And so this is who they married. Just like if you lived in the ghetto, you married somebody from the ghetto. If you were in college, you married somebody in the college. If you're in the church and these people are homosexuals, that's who these women were marrying. And some of these men were so doggone good looking, it's like, that's another reason why these women were marrying them. Because they were
A woman on television, a lady on television, because she's a comedian or something, she said that women are out, meaning we're no longer in vogue. It's the men. They don't want women anymore. They only want men. We're out. We're like, what's the word calling that, you know, you're not in fashion anymore. So men want men now. And
we're
obsolete. In other words, when you see people having these extra affairs now, it's always a man with a man. That's what's being said.
Yeah.
Not that
yeah.
he's cheating
yeah.
on his wife with a girl. He's cheating on his wife with a man.
You know, John 8:23 says, "And he said unto them, Ye are from beneath. I am from above. Ye are of this world. I am not of this world." And you know, he was talking to the Pharisees and those that were challenging him, that we know that these people that are doing these things are dealing with spirits that are from below, you know? And we have to make sure that, number one, our spirit is so enlightening and so bright that when these people pummel away from the church, we're there to catch them with open arms and say, here, this is the way. This is the way. Follow. But if we aren't doing any better than the churches are doing out there, if we can't show them any more light than they've seen, they're lost. And guess what? The scripture is going to, the Most High will hold us responsible.
Yeah.
So we've got to start showing that we've left this world behind and we don't need to be part of this menagerie. It's not a simple thing.
But you know, even
let's figure that out.
All these people that are going to be stumbled. I wonder what's going to happen to all of these leaders who, at one time, I believe they knew. They decided that money was better. You know, I mean, how many of us, if we wanted a certain amount of money or fame or whatever it is, would we not take it? You know,
it's just like that scripture that talks about the money being the root of all evil.
Yeah.
So we can expect that when people get shown that kind of money, they can't seem to let it go.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? We are way past our time, guys, and we can pick this up and we can go through this next week and talk about more on how we can let this world go, leave this world behind, because the scripture says, you know, that we are, this world is passing away and its desires.
Right.
It says in 1 John 2:17, and the world passes away and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of the Most High abideth forever. And we need to let the world know that that's who we are. So when they have no place to go, that we're willing to not only share our bread, but to share that living bread with them so that they will be able to leave the world behind and not to fear all this stuff that's coming up in these distractions that are on us like this. But you know what? I think that it's not simple. But we're going to have to figure this thing out. So I've decided that I'm going to start having Sabbath dinner again at least twice a month. And I'm going to invite two strangers, meaning two people that are not of this fold. You understand? That are or maybe even my neighbors. Even if they don't come, I want to go and invite them to Sabbath dinner. And then I will invite a couple of other couples from the congregation, so maybe 6 to 8 people, to come over for Sabbath dinner and really show them how we honor the Sabbath when the Sabbath comes in. And, you know, put together a little, like we had before, with a whole outline of what we do, blessing the children, blessing the wives, anointing, and what have you. And then reading the scriptures and just sharing the scriptures where we're not debating about where they're coming from, but just talking about the goodness of the Most High God, that maybe that might draw somebody in. You know what I mean?
Yeah, good job.
So that's what I'm thinking to do, you know. So let's think about things like that we can do to start to get closer and start to bringing people in to the fellowship with the Most High God. Unless
you guys can do that for Purim as well. You know, you have one time at church, but then you can do that at your house and invite your, you know, family that's part of your, you know, of what we know and everything, and make it a normal thing just like that. So
that would be wonderful.
Yeah.
Okay, so, Aura, you want to close us out in prayer?
Okay. All right. Gracious and all wise and eternal Father. Father, we've been here sitting talking about leaving the world behind, Father. But we pray that you will bring these
things to our mind, Father, and to our hearts, Father, where we can honor you, Father, more, and to let go of ourselves, Father, because saw that so prevalent in everything. Everybody was all about themselves, Father. But you told us that we are to look to someone else, to help somebody else out, Father. Help us to understand it's not about us. It's about you and your word and how you want us to be. So, Lord, we pray that we can purpose in our heart, Father, to do what you want us to do, Father, to be transformed by the renewing of our minds, Father. So, Lord, we can all think of things to talk about and to do that are worldly, Father, but we're talking about what you said, things that we don't see, Father, of the things that you said are important. You know, the things you said that won't be shaken, Father, that's what we need to be concentrating on, Father. So, Lord, we stand here, Father, and we're saying, speak, Father, because we are listening, Father. We know that in time, times have changed, Lord. Everybody is noticing that, Father. And we are hearing you, Father. We're pricking our ears up, Father, because we want to be ready when it's time for you to come, Father. We do not want to be found wanting, Father. So we pray, Father, that we can shed these grave clothes off, Father, even if it's just a little bit at a time, Father. But let us be able to understand, Father, that what you said is more important than what the world says, Father. And help us to show the world, because, Father, you said we are to be a light to this world, Father. So we just pray and ask, Father, that you open up our hearts and our ears to the understanding of your way, Father, and your will. And many things we pray in your precious Son, Yeshua's name. Amen.
All right. All praise to the Most High. Everybody, you guys all have a wonderful night. And
you too.
Hopefully we'll see you here next week.
Shalom. Shalom.